your favorite show on Cairo Radio on a Thursday night, by the way, which is Friday Eve. It's Cairo Night. G and Mace means the world that you guys listen to the show. The gang is here. DB is on the ones and twos. He plays that awesome piano music to start the show. Frank Shires comes in with the news at the top and the bottom of the hour. Now, usually, I come up with something that goes on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Boring life, that is. That I bring up to start the show. But this is something that I've been thinking about for a while. Mm. And by the way, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I just wonder about something.
Hmm.
Is it normal to speak in this way? Hey, you know what? Those folks on the right, you know what the Republicans, they do?
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, that's the problem. All the liberals, they do all this. If that is normal, if you are saying, yes, G, that's normal, then my next follow-up would be, is it normal to say, you know, the blacks, mm-hmm. they do this.
Right.
The whites, yep, they do that. Is that where we're at in 2019, where we label everybody as a group? Like, I've never sat here on this show since we've been here and said, those on the left or those on the right?
Think this or want this.
I don't understand.
I'm going to do something I hate when other people do, but hi, I'm Aaron. Nice to meet you. This will happen. As a member of the media, I hate when people talk about the media, but that's what the media does. We put things into little boxes so it's easier to digest. And if you can make someone mad at one of those little boxes, then you've got eyeballs on your TV or ears on your radio, and people are going to pay attention, and you can get that ad money.
But I would throw in that the media is also holding up a mirror to society. The media doesn't do anything that it doesn't think the rest of us do. And so,
yes, what
you say is correct,
yep.
but it's also because they see how we are,
right.
and as in regular society, and they, oh, well, this works. Here
yeah.
we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa.
Let me say, it's a little bit chicken and the egg, and the egg. You know, it's a little bit which came first.
Sure.
But I think Frank's right that if we didn't respond to that kind of talk or that kind of thinking, then they would stop doing it.
Well, then why doesn't the media get on there and say, well, you know, the whites do this and the blacks do that. Why don't they do that then?
Because we would have a problem with that. Too many people would object to that and then they would stop.
But for some reason,
ideology is a little
bit
different.
But it's the same thing.
Sure. To me.
Yeah.
The Catholics do this when you break people down in groups.
But that's what we do.
Who is we?
Human beings.
Yeah, people.
Human beings are tribal by nature.
Sure.
Human beings belong to groups, and they're very aware of what's in their group and what's
Why
not.
Why did you start the show with this?
Yeah,
we
this
have
is
so
a big conversation. Wow. It's a great thought.
I love you, G.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think, I'll end it with this. I think it's lazy to blame it and say, because that's what we do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, no, it ain't what we do, because that ain't what I do, and I'll never teach anything. I don't care who you are. I don't even care if what you're going to say is something that I agree with. If you sit here and say, well, you know, G, everybody on the right, as soon as you say that, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm
me too.
Done. It doesn't matter what you have to say, because you have a gang mentality. Oh, and by the way, that's what it is. It's a gang mentality. You guys want to talk bad about gang members? Well, yeah, that's what you are.
It's an us versus them.
Yes.
Yeah. You just need enough people on the good side of this to outweigh the people on the other side.
I think we all agree about this, actually.
Those that follow a crowd can never be followed by a crowd. Leaders lead.
Here's the top three things we need to discuss. Number one.
So that tragic crane collapse that happened back in April in South Lake Union, it killed four people. It is in the news again today. You heard Frank Shires talk about it just a few minutes ago. The reason is that the Department of Labor and Industries, LNI, for Washington State, has completed their investigation of the accident. LNI found that three of the five companies that they have been investigating are at least partially responsible for the incident. GLY Construction, Northwest Tower Crane, and Morrow Equipment have been cited as the three companies. Now, each of them has been fined tens of thousands of dollars for their part in the accident, Morrow Equipment bearing the largest at $70,000. Ann Soyza, the Assistant Director of Labor and Industries, described how the incident was a domino effect of the negligence of all three companies.
The lack of an assembly-disassembly director during the entire disassembly, ensuring manufacturer's procedures were followed by all personnel, that pins were not pulled prematurely, and monitoring the changing weather conditions.
Another unnamed worker from LNI talked about how preventable this incident was if proper safety measures were taken by any of the three responsible parties.
The incident that occurred was totally avoidable. If the companies on site had followed the rules that were in place, the crane would not have fallen and four people would not have lost their lives.
Now, they claim that LNI found this accident was not the first instance in which any of the three companies had attempted to cut corners.
I don't know that we have an answer to the why of the culture. As far as why in this particular instance, over the course of our investigation, it became apparent that this may not have been an isolated incident in the industry, and that this may have been happening in other places as well. And at that point, we issued a hazard alert that clearly described the roles of having an assembly-disassembly director in charge.
He even revealed that, get this, it was Morrow Equipment that told workers to remove vital structural pins from the crane.
The representative from Morrow on the site that they had sent knew that the pins were coming out and insisted in removing the pins.
Two of the other companies responsible for disassembling that crane, Seaberg Construction and Omega Morgan, were not found liable for the collapse. And it's just sad. There were four people that were killed. Two of them were iron workers. The other two were in vehicles on the street that were struck by the falling crane.
Well, we talked about this in the beginning. We talked about it, and you guys have seen video of the cranes going down, and you kind of seen the way it broke down in the video as if, and by the way, I'm not an expert, right? But it doesn't take an expert to see the way it broke off in different areas to see that something just wasn't right. And we knew, and most of us knew, we are not professionals, but we knew that the professionals were going to find out that things were not done. The experts were going to find out there was negligence with this entire thing. And so somebody has to pay for this.
Yeah.
Because people lost lives, man.
Yeah.
People lost lives.
Yeah.
Somebody has to pay for that.
Now, this is one of those things, too, that I believe there are cases that have been brought to these companies by family members of victims and you know, people associated there. And this is good news for them because this suit establishes that, yes, the Washington State says that these three companies are responsible for what happened here. It could have been avoided. So if you're someone who is saying that, you know, hey, company, you're responsible for the death of my loved one, this bolsters your argument.
Yes, it does. Sorry, Mace. I messed up again.
I got you, buddy. Number two. King County is taking e-cigarette company Juul to federal court this week, blaming them for the rise in teen vaping addiction. Our own Cairo radio reporter Aaron Granillo has more.
The federal lawsuit claims Juul is fueling the rise in teenage vaping. It goes on to say nearly all nicotine violations in Seattle public schools last year were for vaping, more than half of all the cases involving Juul products. The company is accused of hooking teenagers to nicotine by marketing flavors, something Juul has denied. The suit was filed hours after King County confirmed three more cases of lung disease linked to vaping. Statewide, at least a dozen people have been hospitalized, though health officials can't say exactly exactly what product makes people sick.
Now, in the suit, King County is asking Juul to pay damages to victims of related lung illnesses and also to fund preventative education on vaping. Here is Cairo 7 TV's Rob Munoz.
King County wants Juul to pay those damages and then fund preventative education and addiction treatment. Just last month, a teen here was the first person in the state to be diagnosed with a severe lung disease associated with e-cigarettes.
In addition to the local vaping issues, Juul has made some national news this week as well, nationwide. Over the entire United States of America, Juul will be removing all of their flavored vape pods from stores and online, except for mint, tobacco, and menthol flavors. The CEO of Juul claimed that this was to rebuild trust from the vaping community.
You know, y'all, it's no secret that I didn't never like this whole vaping thing.
Yep.
Right? I don't like seeing it. I don't like seeing any coworkers. I don't like knowing and hearing about young men and women doing these things. I just think it's bad. With that being said, I gotta say it, y'all. I just don't feel good about this. I feel like there's a lot of hypocrisy in this, and this is the truth. I think money wins because how are we going to sit here? And I know what you're going to say, Mace. So just hold on. How are we going to sit here and just stand by while vaping and all of the flavors and Juul and everybody, all this stuff is taken off the market and, hey, it's going to be a ban, but we're going to sit here with tobacco still on the shelves? I'm sorry, man. And the reason why tobacco is still on the shelves is... it's not really because, oh, well, we know what tobacco does.
Mm-hmm.
No, the truth is there's a lot of money to make sure they stay on the shelves.
Yeah, I think both things are true.
Yes.
You know, we know that cigarettes are bad for us, and we know exactly how. We know that fast food is bad for us, and we know exactly how. We know that high sugar drinks are bad for us and will kill us, and we know exactly how. The question is, why are these vapes killing people? Well, we don't know, so we got to figure that out. Now, this is... I will agree with you that this is mostly about money here.
And we do know tobacco's killing, cigarettes are killing us, no?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
We do know that.
I think it's 1,300 people a day. Yeah. But so the lawsuit claims that Juul's corporate affiliate, Philip Morris, they are the big tobacco people.
Yeah.
They're saying that they knew that youth smoking was the key to the tobacco industry's long-term success. And in fact, there's an internal document from Philip Morris cited in the lawsuit that says, quote, "Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer, and the overwhelming majority of smokers first begin to smoke while still in their teens."
True facts. True facts.
Number three.
Elijah Cummings, the Democratic representative from Maryland, has passed away today. At the age of 68, long-standing health challenges and a recent medical procedure are listed as factors in his death. In a long, long list of many achievements, Representative Cummings was the first African-American in Maryland to serve as the Speaker pro tem of the state's legislature. NBA star and member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Chris Paul, posted an inspirational video of Cummings speaking about children in poverty. This clip is a microcosm of what made Cummings so influential in his position.
What does that mean when a child is sitting in their own feces, can't take a shower? Come on, man. What's that about? None of us would have our children in that position. They are human beings. It's not the deed that you do to a child. It's the memory. It's the memory. But we are dancing with the angels. These children will be dealing with the issues that have been presented to them.
Representative Cummings was the son of sharecroppers who rose to represent parts of Baltimore, the city where he was born and raised. You know, a school counselor once told him that he was too slow a learner and too poor a speaker to ever fulfill his dreams of becoming a lawyer. And Cummings told the Associated Press back in 1996 about those comments. He said, "My whole life changed. I became very determined," and he went on to become not just a lawyer, but a judge and a representative for the United States of America.
He was just a good man.
Yeah.
He was a good man. I know I've never met him personally, and I don't think most people listening probably haven't met him, but he was a good man. Doesn't matter your politics. When you heard him speak, you know that he had friendships on both sides of the aisle.
He did.
You know what I mean? And you just, you felt his energy. You felt his heart. And so when I saw this morning, early this morning, that he had passed away, the first thing I thought was, is like, oh, man, not right now.
Yeah.
Like, not right now would not be a good time for him to pass away.
And now it's time for DB's Deep Dive. Thankful Thursday.
Howdy, gents.
Hey, DB.
Thankful Thursday, where I sort of give a little bit of what I am thankful for. It could be a person. It could be a group of people. It could be, in this case, actually, a pair of shoes.
Oh, which, hold on now.
Yeah, it's a little weird. But you guys know I run pretty often.
A lot.
Yeah, 10-ish miles to 15 miles a day. And the shoes that I run in are from Brooks. Store actually just right down in Fremont area. And these shoes, I'll tell you what, I got them about a year and a half ago, and I mean they're like, I think, my most valuable possession now.
They've still held up.
Oh yeah, that I
after your crazy
of,
amounts of running.
Yeah, well over 500 miles of running, including a half marathon. They're going to be running. I'm going to be running in them in the marathon coming up in November. I cannot tell you they still fit like a glove, and they are completely intact. They've gone through wear and tear, through the snow, through the ice, through the dirt, through sand. I've run on the beach with them. I mean, just all sorts. And I paid, you know, a little over $100 for them, and they're fantastic. So I know that sounds kind of dumb, but honestly, they are a very vital piece of the possessions that I have, and I'm really thankful for them, honestly.
I'm going to tell you why that's not dumb and why I love that you did this. Because so often things are today disposable and, you know, not made well. So I love to hear, even though I'm not a runner, surprise, surprise, love to hear that there's good stuff out there being made. And maybe it'll help someone who's looking for some shoes.
DB, you be running 10 to 15 a day, bruh.
You betcha.
You know how many times I've run 10 to 15 miles in a day? Actually, one time. I can already tell you.
I don't think I've run 10 to 15 miles in my entire life.
One time. College conditioning.
That was a bummer.
My college coach was a marathon runner.
That'll do it.
Hey, 7:45, we got scenarios. But up next, check this out, everybody. We got 7 companies that you know of that all will lose $14 billion here soon. Find out next. Cairo Knights, G and Mace. Thursday. Welcome back here to Cairo Knights. It's G and Mace. Means the world you listen to the show. Feel free to text us. 98973. We love it when you guys text. It adds to the conversation. Plus, it lets us know how you're doing. And we like to check in back in right with you as well. Coming up next, we got scenarios. We do it every single night at 7:45. But right now, we need to talk about something that we are all guilty of. Even though they've slapped millennials on the title, if you will. But this is kind of like this topic right here. This was in the Atlantic. And this story is so interesting. I'm going to have Mace set it up.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that what we thought was the future is, in fact, something that's not making money.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and break it all the way down, Brother Mace.
Yeah. Oh, it was a good deal while it lasted, everybody. So there are these companies,
okay,
right? And we all know them, right? Let me give you a list of just a few.
Okay.
Casper mattresses.
I know about, I got a Casper.
Okay. Peloton. The exercise.
I want one.
Uber.
Okay.
WeWork.
Yep.
DoorDash.
Oh, yeah.
Lyft.
Yes.
Postmates.
Yes.
Sounds good, right?
Yes.
All big companies. You think, oh, well, they're leading the world. They're doing great. Those 7 companies will collectively lose nearly $14 billion this year.
You heard it.
Okay.
$14 billion.
14 with a B. Billion. So it turns out that what we thought was kind of standard pricing for things is not. And we've been getting a really, really sweet deal. But that time is very quickly coming to an end. It is not going to last forever because you're seeing companies like WeWork, for example. They just had an IPO. It was disastrous. And so venture capitalists and startup founders, they have all sort of kind of changed their tune a little bit.
Okay.
And gone, you know what? Maybe it's not worth taking these losses to try and attract more people if we're not making as much money off of those customers that we're spending to try and attract them.
Right.
So profits, it turns out, matters in business. So that means that all of those things I just said and more are going to become much more expensive.
You know what blew me away? I want to talk about two things. And by the way, that's how my brain works, guys. I apologize sometimes. I got 2 to 3 things on my mind.
You go for two.
You know what I mean? You got to go for two. There's two things I want to talk about. One, in that story, Lime. You guys know we be talking about Lime scooters all the time. We talk about Lime this, Lime that. Lime's everywhere. You're like, oh, man. Did y'all know Lime ain't made a dollar?
No.
Lime has made no money. That is crazy to me. If you would have told me that, bopped me over the back of the head, I would have never believed that. So that's the one thing I wanted to talk about. The next thing I want to talk about as we get ready, I want to go deep into this topic because, Cairo Knights, that's just what we do here, and we have enough time. In the daytime, they go too fast with stories, and I like us to sit down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have a conversation.
Yeah, flesh it out.
Here's what I want to talk about, and one of the examples with this and inside of that is, here's an example. Let's say you order a food service, right? A food service is $100 a month, and they're going to send you X amount of food weekly. Okay?
Right.
So month number one, and you're like, whoa, really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
You tell your friends about it, and you're liking this deal. Everything shows up on time. It's great. It's fantastic for you. Month number two, Mace, you do it again. Kyle Knight listener, you do it again.
You go for two.
$100 a month. Month number three, oh, baby. Oh, you in there. Man, $100 a month. You've been telling everybody this deal is fantastic. And then month number four comes around. And because you have been doing this, because you've been kind of knowing your way around the kitchen, and it has actually made you more aware of what you're making, it's not like the TV dinner. You say to yourself, you know what? I don't need month number four. I'm going to start kind of doing this myself.
Uh-huh.
Now, stop right there. That company had you for 3 months, and you stopped.
Yeah.
Now that company has to go and find another you. And people keep doing that because we are such a, we just move and shake mentality. So these companies aren't making it. Whereas in yesteryear, let's say our moms, our dads, or maybe you in the 80s, 90s, we get with a company and we stay with them forever.
Right.
Point in all of this topic is this. These new companies that have come around, they don't have the brand loyalty from us the way some of these other things of the past did. We all thought that this new was going to be the new way of the world, and it is. But the problem is they're not making money.
Right. Now, it's like airlines. I look at the airlines, right? Now, if you're somebody who flies a whole lot, then you generally stick with one kind of airline because you have some sort of rewards program with them. And you're cranking up miles, so you have... And there's something worth it to you,
right?
To pay the maybe little extra it would cost to pick that airline over another that might be cheaper. But for most of us, if I'm looking at two different flights and it's $250 and $251, I'm going with the $250. I don't even care. And so that's where we sort of all are with this stuff. We just go for whatever's cheapest, and all of these companies are just trying to basically subsidize our lives, like, so we can go and do these things, but it's about to go up.
Another old school example would be grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. Even though, I don't want to put the business out, even though that there are a couple grocery stores that I know my groceries will be cheaper, like 25% cheaper.
Sure.
Man, do you know I still don't go there because of my brand loyalty?
Yeah.
Look, let me tell y'all something. I got to walk in Costco to check things out once a week. Minimum. I got to go check out the way of the land. And by the way, I go do the same thing. I walk in. I show them my Costco card right over to the right. I'm always seeing the little extra toothbrushes and everything and the new vitamins. I look right there. I go right over to the watches. I look at the watches every single time, Mace. Mace, it's not even funny. I'm embarrassed.
It's funny.
I look at the watches every single time. Then I go and I look at a TV. That takes me anywhere from about 5 to 7 minutes, and then I go back to the back and go do what I do. Mm. Brand loyalty.
Yeah, man. I'm not trying to get in your personal business, but I can't believe you're not a spokesperson for Costco.
That's a good idea.
The way you love those guys. You give them enough money.
Costco, talk to your boy. Hey, coming up next, it's time for scenarios. Kara Knights, GMS. Welcome back in to Kara Knights, everybody. It's G and Mace. Means World, guys, listen to the show. Feel free to text us, 98973, because this segment right here is always the best.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Dear Kara Knights, my husband and I have been married for about a year and a half. It's all good for the most part, but he doesn't know how much about women that he needs to know or being a husband. Sometimes it's kind of cute, but other times it's annoying. This is one of the annoying times. My birthday is tomorrow. He's been really excited about it and has told me he has big plan and he has picked out an amazing gift for me. He says, I'm going to love it. All week, he's been dropping little clues and building this up like this really big, unbelievable present. So, last night, I'm looking for a sweater in our closet, and I accidentally came across this big gift. It's in a fancy gift bag with my name on it, on the tag. I peeked.
Oh.
What is it? It's lingerie. I'm so offended. I mean, I get it. I think he's trying, and he probably thinks this is awesome. I didn't want that. I don't want that. And I will never wear it. It was just selfish, and am I overreacting? Or was this over the line? What do I do about it? How do I tell him? 98973 to go ahead and help this wife and husband out. Frank?
Yes.
You're the romantic person around here.
Oh, David's the romantic. I'm just the one that's married. You want me? Really? I would never give my wife lingerie. It's just such a personal thing.
Yeah.
And the way you deal with it in this kind of situation is it's going to be painful. You're going to hate it, but you're going to have to tell him straight up at the moment you receive it. You be nice. I love you, honey. I appreciate your effort. Please don't do this again. And no, I do not like this present.
Yeah.
Now, he may be offended. He may be hurt. All those things true. But, you know, good husbands are trainable.
All right.
He doesn't need to be trained.
Uh-huh.
DB?
There were lots of mistakes made here. He obviously should not have bought the lingerie for a gift. He should not have hyped it up so much. Definitely, you should not have looked at. I mean, I understand all of our curiosity, and we all, you know, we're all the little kid at Christmas who wants to see the presents beforehand. You definitely shouldn't have looked at it. You're a full grown adult. Please don't do that. That's like kind of violating his trust a little bit. And also, I think I'm usually a fan of honesty and being, you know, very transparent. I think he has got to bite the bullet and act excited. And then guess what? All the lingerie would only ever be seen by him. We all make concessions for our spouses. Wear it for him like once. Make him feel special. Make him feel like he got you something that you like. You never have to wear it again. I mean, it's not that huge of a deal. You're not having to wear it out in public. You're not having to take pictures with it. It's just an outfit. Make him feel a little bit better. You said you really appreciate the fact that he even went so far as to do this. So show that appreciation.
Mace.
This reminds me of a very early season episode of The Simpsons, where for Marge's birthday, Homer gave her a bowling ball with his name inscribed on it. It is not for her. It's for him. This is her birthday. You got to get her something for her. Now, he's not listening, assumedly. So you just have to know. It's like 253 says here on the text line. Assume all men are stupid. You need to train us about what you do and don't like. You guys have been married for a year and a half. He should probably have a little bit better of an idea, but maybe he's just not that creative. You know, lingerie is on a long list of, you know, gifts you're supposed to get there with flowers and chocolates and all that stuff, but not everybody's into it. So, like we say often on this show, you're just going to have an awkward, potentially difficult conversation. And there you go. But that being said, he got you something. He's trying. Make sure that gets across too.
Let's be clear. Ladies, listen. we don't read your minds. Mm-hmm. We really don't. I mean, and we're really not good at it. And some of the fellas, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, after a while, like Frank said, and like some of the text lines said, once you train us, we start to get it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Like when we've been watching football or been doing something all day, you know, it's just certain things that we don't think to, like, maybe we should have gotten up and done something. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't think about those things.
Right.
Or when you say, hey, I'm hungry, and then we say, oh, okay, so what do you want to eat? No, that was the time for us to take control and actually pick something to eat.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We don't understand those things. We don't understand the gifts, so you gotta, you know what? You wear it. You wear the lingerie. You be excited. Fellas, quit. Don't buy your ladies lingerie. Let them buy it themselves. Anyway, wear the lingerie this time. After this time, let them know. Like, honey, you know what? In the future, tell them. Tell them the things you like.
Examples are great.
Tell him.
Lists
very
are
useful.
Better.
Yes.
Yes. But overall, I will say, be excited that he was excited to get you something.
Yeah.
And maybe he failed, but man, at least he's trying.
That's it.
So
it's true.
You got a good one there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I got some partners. They don't buy nothing. 8 o'clock hour comes up next, everybody. Kara Knights, GMAs.